Hebrews chapter 11, if you'll turn your Bibles there this morning, Hebrews 11. And it was a wonderful time of Vacation Bible School. I think not only the hard work, but we need to also thank Ms. Sarah for all her diligent efforts and arranging all that. Let's give her a round of applause. This is a way of thank you. Listen, those things don't happen by accident. And then I also want to encourage you to remember this, that we spent a lot of time in prayer before Vacation Bible School. And so if we're going to rejoice, we're going to rejoice in the Lord and what He did, because He's the one who moved in hearts and in lives. We're just getting to be a part of what God's doing in this world. Isn't that a wonderful thing? The fact that we get to take part in what God's doing. Hebrews chapter 11, I want us to consider this morning one of the most powerful records given to us in the Old Testament. And as you turn there to Hebrews chapter 11, I want to remind you that God has given us this passage. In this record, He gives us a list of those who have followed Him by faith. Unless we forget, we need to be reminded this, that those folks that we have listed here in Hebrews chapter 11, do you know this? They faced difficulties just like you and I do. They lived in a time when they had to take steps of faith, when they had to trust God, when the world was moving against them, and perhaps they were the laughing stock or the gazing stock, as it says in the Bible, of those around them. And so I want you to take heart this morning as you read these records. Listen, they were people just like you and I. Now, I realize they lived in a different day, but they dealt with the difficulties of life. And through those difficulties, they demonstrated this, how God works in our lives. Now, I want to say this even further. Think about this. These folks are more remarkable because of their limited resources. I don't know if you realize when you read Hebrews chapter number 11 that there are a lot of things that you and I enjoy today that we have privilege to that they did not have. Number one, realize this, they didn't have the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. This is prior to the day of Pentecost. And so you and I as Christians, we take for granted the fact that God lives inside of us. But these Christians demonstrated faith in spite of not having the Holy Spirit of God permanently indwelling them. Number two, they did not have a completed canon of Scripture like you and I do. In fact, most of these fellas, if you read about them, they have very little Scripture, if any at all. And yet, in spite of that, they live lives of faith. Number three, they didn't have a vibrant local church to be a part of like you and I do. You and I enjoy fellowship one with another. We come together. We're able to rejoice about things like VBS. Listen, these folks of faith right here in this chapter, they didn't have some large local church to attend to, because guess what? The church is something in the New Testament, not in the Old Testament. And yet, in spite of their limited resources, they demonstrated such wonderful and commendable faith. And I tell you, I am challenged by that. The fact that they didn't have the Holy Spirit permanently indwelling. The fact that they didn't have the canon of Scripture like you and I do. The fact that they didn't have a vibrant local church to go to like you and I do. And I'm reminded of the cautionary words of our Lord in Luke chapter number 12 and verse number 48. Here's what Jesus said. He says, "Unto whomsoever much is given of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much of him, they will ask the more." Can I testify this morning just of myself that God has given me so much? And I think if you were to look at your own life, you'd realize this, that God has given you a lot too. And because of that fact, guess what? It's required of us much as well. And so as you study this chapter, there's two individuals who are emphasized, who are also found in a significant volume of Scripture in the Old Testament. And as we'll, I'll name them here in just a minute. But as you look at this, I understand many would say Joseph is a record that has a lot of volume of scripture in the Old Testament. In fact, Genesis 37 through Genesis 50 all cover the life of Joseph, and that's a lot. I understand that Noah is recorded in the scriptures listed in this chapter, and he has five chapters devoted to him in Genesis chapter 5 through 10. We might also mention Samson, or think of David, or even Samuel as well, mentioned in verse 32 of this chapter. But in this chapter, would you notice with me, in verse 8 through 18, we see Abraham and his family spoken about much. And also then in verses 23 through 30, we have Moses and his family mentioned. Now, when you look at both of those together, that's 17 verses out of 40 verses in the entire chapter. Almost half the chapter is devoted to Abraham and devoted to the faith record of Moses. Well, can I make a simple observation for you about those two figures? The Bible mentions Abraham's immediate family in verse number 9, verse number 11, and verse number 20. The Bible also mentions Moses' immediate family in verse number 23. And the point I'm trying to make and encourage you with this morning is simply this. God has designed our families to serve Him together. In fact, I will tell you this, that families are very important to God. Aren't you glad you're part of the family of God? Amen. But listen, these families God has given you of the flesh are important to God. And a family that serves the Lord together will make the family of God even stronger. It's a powerful thing when moms and dads, sons and daughters, husbands and wives serve the Lord together, when they're of the same mind. And I believe, by the way, this is the way God would have us to be. But can I say this? If that's not your situation this morning, I realize perhaps there's some here today that think about family members that aren't present with us and would love for them to be here at Liberty Baptist Church. Can I give you two things to think about? Number one, pray for your family. One of the greatest things you'll ever do is bend your heart and bend your knee and cry on behalf of your family. Listen, pray for your family. But then, number two, you must do this as well. Demonstrate a godly, vibrant life with Jesus Christ. And see, we must pray, but we must demonstrate a vibrant, godly life with Jesus Christ. If you'll live your life with those two things in mind, you'll have a great impact on those around you, I guarantee you. You see, Moses' parents and his family prepared him to walk away from the riches of Egypt. You'll see that in Hebrews 11, 23 and 24. Abraham's testimony in his life generationally affected Isaac and Jacob and the children of Israel to follow. There's no doubt about it. And so today, you and I, we're going to look at Abraham and perhaps one of the greatest passages in the Old Testament concerning his faith. If you'll stand with me, look in verse number 17 down through verse number 19. The Bible says in verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting this, that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. I'd like for us to consider this morning the thought, the faithful surrender to God. The faithful surrender to God. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that as we leave this place, there'd be a whole host of Christians that have surrendered to you. Lord, I also pray, Father, if there's somebody here that's lost, they're separated from God because of their sins, Lord, I pray they would surrender to Jesus Christ and receive salvation, eternal life, by Jesus Christ this morning. Oh, Father, I pray, Lord, perhaps if we are at a place where we're holding on to something, Lord, you give us strength to leave it at this altar. Help us to surrender, just as Abraham surrendered his son Isaac many thousands of years ago. Lord, help us to look at this faith record, and Father, I pray we be challenged by it. Lord, truly, we live lives where we're daily surrendering ourselves to you. And Father, I pray, Lord, we would be Christians that say, Lord, I'm all yours. Help us in this matter, I pray, and ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. You may be seated. I cannot think of a more pointed example in the Old Testament that represents the Lord Jesus Christ more than offering up of Isaac upon the mountaintop by Abraham. I don't know if there's any way that you and I could actually exactly identify with the experience that Abraham went through, but I do know this, that Abraham, in obeying the Lord, demonstrated as near as humanly possible what God the Father did in giving God the Son, Jesus Christ, for us. And I do know this, that there's something very precious about a child-parent relationship when you think about it. By the way, it's by that relationship that you and I can possibly conceive of what God has revealed to us in the Scriptures concerning the triune God, God the Father and God the Son. This message of surrender, however, is at the end of many steps of faith in the life of Abraham. I hope you understand this morning that God is leading you somewhere. He is leading you somewhere. Sometimes we forget that's the case, don't we? Sometimes we believe this. We're just aimlessly living through this life, just getting up day after day and going in a wandering direction. And perhaps that's the case for you this morning. Maybe you find yourself drifting from the path of the Lord. I pray that's not the case, but we want to live in this way, according to His guidance and according to His purposes. The psalmist declared this in Psalm 25 and verse 5. Listen carefully. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. I pray that's the heart attitude of every child of God here. Equally, Psalm 37, 5 says this. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Here in this chapter, we find that Abraham's life is summed up down through these verses, his steps of faith. And I want you to write down these notes here. Number one, if you're taking notes, the first thing that we see in the life of Abraham is faith that answered. Faith that answered. I hope you understand this morning that there's always a step for you to take before you. God wants you to go even further than where you're at today. You see, God ultimately has a destination for each one of His children, and He's calling us forward in these steps of faith. And so we make note of the beginning steps of Abraham, as seen in this chapter, before we get to verses 17 through 19. Look with me in verse number 8 for just a moment. The Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterwards receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. Now, we've looked at this verse before in a prior sermon. If you'll remember, it was entitled this, Faithful Obedience. You see, God calls us to be faithful in our obedience to Him. But I'd like to give you just three points about this pre-steps prior to what we find in verse number 17 through 19. First of all, would you recognize this? Number one, that God is always calling. God calls. God calls. You see in this verse, in verse number 8, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was, notice the next word there, called. Abraham's faith that answered was a result of God's call upon his life. Can I tell you that if you open up this book, I have no doubt that God's going to call you to something. There's no doubt about it. God is going to challenge you in some area of your life. See, God is always speaking. The question is, are we listening? See, God's calling in our life is for us to go forward. He's calling me forward, and guess what? He's calling you forward as well. Every child of God can say this, I'm called. Romans 8:30 says this, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. You see, if you're a child of God, guess what? You're called by God to walk with him. You might ask the pastor sometime, Pastor, what should I do with my life? What a good question, isn't it? Can I give you a very simple answer? A very truthful answer. I can give you the answer. Walk with God. That's what you're called to do in this life. Remember, the Bible tells us about faithful Enoch in Genesis 5:24. It says, Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Boy, what a testimony. I wish every child of God had that testimony, that we walked with God. Wouldn't it be great if God just took you up into glory right at the moment as you're walking with him? That'd be wonderful. You see, God has something for you and I to do. Think about it. He has a task for you and I to accomplish. There's a reason why you're here and why you're here today. The greatest pursuit of your life will not be the newest job that you get. The day I got married is a great day. It's a wonderful day. But the greatest pursuit of my life, I want you to understand, will be the discovery of what God has for you to do. That's the greatest. And so can I say further, not only does God call us, but next, God commands us. Along with the call upon Abraham's life and the faith that answered, we see that Abraham was given a command by God. Notice in verse number 8 again, he says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, did what? To go into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed. Listen, God did not just save us to wait around until he returns, but rather God saved you to bring glory to him. The command is given to every child of God. Matthew 5 in verse 16 says this, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's the most marvelous thing in the world, the fact, as we just even said, that you and I get to serve Almighty God. Think of it. You and I get to take place in what God is doing in this world. And this was the same for Abraham, by the way. He was called to go to a place God had something for him to do. In Abraham's answer of faith, we see not only God calls, God commands, but can I tell you a third thing that God is doing in the life of Abraham? God conforms. God conforms. If you want to know whether or not you're walking with the Lord by faith, all of these things will be true. You'll understand that God's calling you. You'll understand that God's commanding you. And certainly you'll be able to see this, that God is conforming you to the image of Jesus Christ. The goal in the Christian life, in case you didn't know, is not to be like so-and-so. It's not to be like sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so. The goal in the Christian life is to be like Jesus Christ. It's like to be like our Savior. It's to follow after his lead. It's to follow his example. It's to walk with God as Enoch did. If you had to say what's going on in Abraham's life, this is what's taking place. God called him. God commanded him, and God is conforming him. And every one of us here, by the way, are somewhere in that process, if you're a child of God, of being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Now, if we were to mark somewhere in that room, in this room, maybe back there where Jason is at in the sound booth, and we say, all right, from here to there is the Christian life. The question is, where are you along that path of conformity to Christ? If Jason represents Christ and you begin as a child of God, you start out in the new birth and you're taking steps forward of faith, where are you at along the way of this conformity to Christ? So the matter of faithful surrender, we first see this, faith that answered. But I want you to notice, secondly, faith that abided. Faith that abided. Notice in verse number 9, as we step down to verse number 16 and 17, the Bible says this, by faith, he, speaking about Abraham, sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. You know, this is really an apt description of you and I today. If you think about it as a child of God, you understand this, that this place is not your true home. We're just sojourning in this world. We're just passing through. One of the most convicting things about Abraham's faithful surrender is his record is marked by a lot of waiting around. How many, by raise of hand, would say this, Pastor, my most favorite thing to do in all the world is to wait around? I've got not one hand here this morning. But you know what? In Abraham's life, what you find is you find him waiting around a lot. The truth of the matter is sometimes it seems like you and I are just waiting around. Sometimes in the Christian life, it may seem like you're just waiting upon the Lord. Can I help you? That's okay to wait upon the Lord. Did you know that the Lord is doing a great work in your life in the waiting time, in the waiting period? Now, I'm not talking about sitting around and doing nothing, but what I'm speaking about is waiting on the Lord to direct your path, to open a door, to guide in your life, or even waiting on the Lord to exercise some great spiritual victory in your life. The Bible says that you and I ought to wait upon the Lord. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34 and 35, that chapter deals with the personification of wisdom. And it says this, blessed is the man that heareth me, speaking about wisdom, watching daily at my gates, but listen carefully, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor from the Lord. You understand that all the treasures of wisdom you could ever want are found in the Lord Jesus. Everything you want to know about this life can be found in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen, I'm going to help you. You don't have to go to Google. You don't have to go to ChatGPT to find wisdom in this world. In fact, if you go to those places, here's what you'll find. A lot of worldly wisdom. But if you want godly wisdom, guess what? You wait upon Jesus Christ. You see, Abraham had to wait upon the Lord for the fulfillment of his promise to him. And can I encourage you about this matter of waiting? Abraham struggled in this matter of waiting. How many struggle in this matter of waiting? Raise your hand. Yeah, I'm right there with you. I can be impatient a lot of times. And this is what I love so much about the Bible and the record of these giants of faith. That guess what? God shows us what these men were, just like you and I. They had struggles and they had difficulty in their faith. In fact, in Genesis chapter 15, if you'll turn over there with me for just a minute, you'll see this in Genesis 15. In verses 1 through 3, Abraham's waiting and he's struggling in his faith. The Bible says in verse number 1 of Genesis 15, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Now that's a pretty good promise from God. God comes to Abram and says, listen, I am your shield, and I'm your exceeding great reward. I'd be jumping up and down saying, woo! But guess what Abraham says? Notice in verse number 2. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go, what's the next word there? Childless. And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. Notice verse 3. And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. Boy, Abraham is struggling in his faith. See, God had promised a child to Abraham, and here Abraham is struggling as he's waiting on the Lord. Do you know this? It wouldn't be until chapter number 17 and verse 21 that Abraham would understand that within a year he would actually have this promised child. In fact, in Genesis chapter 16, in spite of God's promise to him, we have the incident of Sarah and Hagar, which resulted in the birth of Ishmael. At that time, Abram was 85 years old, 10 years removed from the initial call upon his life there when he is initially called of God. I'm just simply saying to you this morning, as a child of God, listen, your faith must abide even in the waiting times. It's designed for you and I in the waiting times is to trust him more and more, to walk with him even more and prepare us, guess what, for what's coming next down the road. The psalmist said this in Psalm 62:5, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him." Leading up to this amazing record, we see Abraham's faith that answered. We see Abraham's faith that abided. But now, I want you to see, thirdly, Abraham's faith that ascended. His faith that ascended. Everything we find in Hebrews chapter 11 concerning Abraham is just a precursor leading up to what we find in verse number 17 through verse number 19. In other words, what I'm telling you is this. In Genesis chapter number 12, there's absolutely no way that Abram was prepared for the trying of his faith, which occurs in Genesis chapter number 22 with the account we read about in verses 17 through 19. If you'll take time and look back at your life as well, you'll notice this. That all along the way with your life in Christ, God has brought you from one point of growth to another. God is doing a work in your life and he's growing you in faith, and you're moving from one place to another, hopefully moving forward in faith. Turn over to Genesis chapter number 22 now as we look at this ascending faith of Abraham. The Bible tells us in verse number 1, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am." Now this is the record of what we find in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, which says this, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son." I'll say it to you this way. This is Abraham's great trial of faith. This is the final exam, if you will. And I believe this, that God is bringing every one of us to a moment like this in our own lives. We might call it this, the faithful surrender. We might call it this, the great measure of our faith. See, the question this morning is twofold, and I'm going to ask you the first one. What are you willing to surrender to the Lord? What are you willing to surrender to the Lord? Perhaps Abraham, by this time, if you imagine and you read his story, perhaps by this time he had gotten to the place where he believed this, "Lord, I've surrendered everything I could possibly surrender to the Lord. I stepped out on faith and I left my home. I left my family." Abraham perhaps thought this, "Boy, I've really taken a giant leap of faith. I've sojourned in this land of promise." He might be thinking this, "Lord, I've waited long enough for Isaac to come along and you finally given him to me." But that leads us to the second question. Not only what are you willing to surrender to the Lord, but secondly, what are you unwilling to surrender to the Lord? No stone left uncovered. And I believe if we're honest with ourselves this morning, that every one of us could point to things that we're holding on to, things in our lives that we're gripped a hold of, and we said, "Lord, I'm afraid to let this go. I'm afraid to give it to you." Now, God has asked Abraham to give his son, but what is God asking you to give to him this morning? Maybe for some of you, it's your career. It's your career. And you're afraid to say, "God, I'm going to obey you and what you're asking me to do, even though it will result in me walking away from what I believe would be the best career I'd ever have in my life." Maybe it's your career, your job. Maybe for some this morning, you're holding on to your family and you're saying, "This is mine," when in fact it's God's. And you're just unwilling to give up your family because you just think you can do a better job of taking care of them than the Lord. Maybe for some this morning, it's your children. The children are the apple of your eye. They're the prize that God has given to you. And you just hold on to them so tight. You're afraid to give them to the Lord. Maybe this morning it's your spouse, and you think about your spouse, and boy, you just want them to walk with the Lord. You just want them to be the kind of Christian that pleases God, and you just won't give them to the Lord. Maybe this morning it's about some infirmity of the flesh that you're dealing with, some sickness, some health crisis has come into your life. You're just holding on to it. You see, there's so many things in our lives that we become possessive of, and we're like a little child, and we say, mine, this is mine. And maybe the Lord is bringing you this morning to the great test of your life. It's the great trial of your faith, and the Lord says simply to you, will you give me your health? Will you trust me with your health? The Lord says, do you trust me with your family? The Lord says, will you allow me to pick your career? The Lord says, will you wait for the spouse that I bring along for you? Will you trust me for that? And now think of it, Abraham, 25 years after the original promise, he waited all that time for the promised son Isaac. And now God tells him in verse number 2 of chapter 22, he says, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee in the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. I believe in the following verses, you and I can understand the steps of what it looks like. What does it look like to faithfully surrender to the Lord? I want to give those steps to you, and I've had them put up on the screen so you can see them. But in verse number 1, we recognize, first of all, that Abraham was available. Abraham was available. If we had to have a first step, that's what it is. Verse number 1, notice it. Abraham said unto him, Abram, and he said, behold, notice what he says, here I am. Did you know this, that you and I will never get to the place God wants us to be without being available to him? Let me ask a question. Are you willing to listen to the counsel of Scripture? Are you willing to listen to what God has to say? Further, are you willing to respond to what God says? See, I know folks in times past who've come to me and they've said a statement something like this. Well, I know what the Bible says, but I know what the Word of God says, but. And see, the key word in both of those statements is the word listen. Availability means not only listening, but it means responding. Abraham responded to let the Lord know that, listen, I am available. He says, behold, here I am. Some are not open to the word of God, and here's why. Because they're afraid of what God's going to ask them to do. In other words, people won't listen to God because they're scared about, man, maybe God will ask me to give my life for him. Maybe God will ask me to change careers. Maybe God will ask me to be a missionary. Maybe God will ask me to teach that children's class that I've been procrastinating on saying yes to the Lord about. Maybe God's going to ask me to do something I don't want to do. And so you're not available. Some are not open to the prompting of the Holy Spirit of God because they're afraid of what the Holy Spirit is going to prompt them to do. And Abraham says simply to God this morning, behold, here I am. And perhaps this morning you and I just need to repeat those words. Maybe that's the first step in your journey of faith. You need to say to the Lord this morning, Lord, I am available to you. Behold, here I am. Step number 2, not only was Abraham available, but Abraham, secondly, was accepting. Notice in verse number 3, the Bible says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took 2 of his young men with him, Isaac his son. He clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went up unto the place which God had told him. You know, his acceptance, his accepting of God is demonstrated in his obedience. A lot of folks speak much about trusting the Lord. A lot of folks say, hey, I follow the Lord. A lot of folks verbalize their faith in the Lord, but listen, the proof, my friend, is in the pudding. How's your obedience? You see, the small steps of obedience would lead to this great victory of faith that Abraham has later in this chapter. Notice several things. Abraham, number one, rose up early in the morning. Abraham, secondly, he clave the wood. Can you imagine this old man out there just cleaving the wood, getting ready for the sacrifice? Abraham got together what was needed for the sacrifice, the knife, the ability to kindle fire. Abraham set aside provision for the trip. Abraham took his servants and his son. Abraham gathered all of these things and Isaac with him and headed to the place that God would show him. All of these were steps of faith. Small steps of faith that will lead to a final moment of surrender in the Lord. And can I say, just reading between the lines, that there must have been a lot of wrestling going on inside of Abraham's heart. Those three nights it took them to arrive at Mount Moriah. Not only was Abraham available, he was accepting, but then number three, Abraham was assured. A crucial step for you and I to move forward in our faith is for you and I to stand upon what we know about our God. Some are lacking victory in this matter of faith, in this matter of surrender, because they know very little about the Lord. And I would challenge you that Abraham was already available. He was already accepting. But here we read that Abraham was assured as well. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 19, it says this about Abraham, that he was accounting that God was able to raise him, that's Isaac, up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. In other words, Abraham assured himself based on what he already believed about God. In verse number 18 of Hebrews 11, God emphasized the fact that Abraham understood that all the promises he had given him were bound up in this single son by the name of Isaac. We have to admit this morning, that we do not surrender to the Lord. Here's the bottom line: because we do not trust the Lord. We should be challenged by the statement of Job. In Job chapter 13, verse 15, it says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." How could Abraham take his only son Isaac and sacrifice him as God asked? I can only imagine going through a trial of faith such like that. But in the book of Hebrews, we give insight to his faith. He believed, in spite of what God was asking him to do, that God would still keep his promise. Now, I want to tell you, this is the moment of surrender. When you and I are assured in our hearts of the goodness and the grace and the power of God, when we realize and hold on to the truth that God is able, that we can by faith say to the Lord, "I trust you," with whatever decision it is that God's asking you to make. Really, it comes down to this. Have you come to a place where you trust the Lord, not just with some things, but with everything? Which brings us to the final point, and then we're done. Abraham was first available. Number two, he was accepting. Number three, Abraham was assured by his knowledge of God. And finally, I want you to note this, Abraham was all in. He was all in. Abraham did not just surrender Isaac that day. I believe Abraham surrendered himself. In verse 17, the Bible tells us not that Abraham was offering Isaac in Hebrews chapter 11, but if you look at the text sometime, you'll understand this. It says Abraham offered Isaac as if it was already done. In other words, in his heart and in his mind and in his thoughts, it was a completed act. The only thing that was that held him back was the angel crying to him out of heaven. You see, we find Abraham's record in Hebrews chapter 11 in the hall of faith for this very moment when he gave up his only son. Now, I know many people speak about the faith of Isaac and the fact that Isaac lay down on the altar, the fact that he was of age and he could have resisted, and that's wonderful. And I believe this, God was working in Isaac's life as well. But listen, Abraham's the one that is quoted as faithful in Hebrews chapter number 11. It says nothing of Isaac laying down on the altar. In fact, it says this about Abraham and his faith. Look with me in Genesis 22 and verse 11 and 12 here. The Bible says, "An angel of the Lord called unto him, Abraham, out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham." Notice he said again, "Here am I." And he said, "Lay not thy hand upon the land, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me." Then notice down in verse number 16, the Bible says, "And said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son," notice the words, "that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand of the sea which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed." Here's why: because thou hast obeyed my voice. Friend, did you know this morning? God wants to bless you in such a magnificent way. I believe God's design for every child of his is to bless in such a magnificent way. He wants to use you in such a magnificent way, just like he did Abraham, to affect the entire world. But it's going to take you and I coming to the place of, guess what? Faithful surrender. You see, Abraham was available. Abraham was accepting of what God had said. Abraham was assured of what he knew about God. And then lastly, Abraham came to a place where he finally surrendered and said, "Lord, I'm all in." Can I simply ask the question of you this morning? Are you all in? Are you? Is there any area of your life that you have not surrendered to the Lord? Maybe there's something particular that's troubling you this day. You need to come to the altar and say, "Lord, I'm tired of trying to figure this out myself. I just want to give it to you." I don't know what that could be in your life. Perhaps you're here this morning and you need to deal with the first things, and that's God's call upon your life. Or maybe it is that this morning you're in a waiting period, and I would encourage you to come and ask the Lord to give you strength as you wait upon him. Lastly, maybe you're like Abraham. You're in the midst of the pinnacle testing of your faith. This is a major point in your life, a change in your life, and God is calling you to surrender the most important thing in your life. Why don't you come and tell the Lord, "Lord, I'm all in. I'm giving up to you. I'm surrendering my life to you." Let's have a word of prayer.